Shalom and Yeshua. This is Rabin Deborah Brandt, and we are on day 33 of our 50 days to Shavuot, the name above all names, Yeshua. Omer day 33, Yeshua, risen Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. For I also passed on to you, first of all, that what I also received, that Messiah died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. The essence of the gospel is contained in these two verses, as we shall see, but the key point for Jewish people to grasp and for Messianic Jews to stress is that the gospel is in accordance with what the Tanakh says, as Shaul himself emphasizes by saying it twice. That is, every major point of the good news set forth in the new covenant with Israel is spoken of or prophesied in the Hebrew Scriptures. The Messiah died for our sins. First, because of our sins, we were not right with God. Your sins have made a separation between you and your God, Isaiah 59:2. Second, the penalty for sin is the death of the sinner, Genesis 2:17, compared with Romans 6:23. And third, only the death of something or someone else can atone for sin. Therefore, there were animal deaths since Genesis 3:21 and animal sacrifices since Genesis 4:3-5, which later became institutionalized in the rituals of the tabernacle and the temple. Nevertheless, as explained in Messianic Jews 9 or Hebrews 9, these animal sacrifices were of temporary effectiveness only. A human death was needed to atone for human sin, but the death of a sinner would be ineffective. This is a major reason why Abraham was told not to sacrifice his son Isaac, Genesis 22:11-14. Isaac's death would not have done anyone any good, since he was a sinner like the rest of us. However, the death of a sinless Messiah for our sins were foretold in Isaiah 52:13-53:8. The Messiah died for our sins in accordance with the Tanakh says, as Yeshua himself taught, and he was buried as predicted in Isaiah 53:9. Why is this an essential part of the gospel? It shows that he was a human being who truly died and needed resurrection in order to live again. And then he was not some spiritual entity masquerading as human, a theory known as the Docetic heresy. And he was raised in accordance with what the Tanakh says in all three of its major sections, the Torah, the prophets, and the writings. All are to be understood as referring to the Messiah's resurrection, but his general resurrection taught in the Tanakh. Yes, possibly in Job 19:25-27, and certainly Isaiah 26:14, your dead, God's dead, will live, and my body will rise. And even more unmistakably, Daniel 12:2, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, which corresponds to Isaiah 26:14, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. This double resurrection is the same as that taught by Yeshua, John 5:29, and detailed in Revelation 20:1-15. Isaiah 64:24, quoted in this connection by Yeshua, is also generally understood to be speaking of resurrection, Mark 9:44. On the third day, 2 Kings 20:8, in which King Hezekiah is raised from terminal illness to go up to the temple on the third day. Hosea 6:2, after 2 days he will revive us, and on the third day he will raise us up, and we will live in his sight. Used in the Talmud in connection with the end times at Rosh Hashanah. Yeshua called the prophets stay for 3 days in the belly of the fish, the sign of Jonah, Jonah 1:17 and 2:10. All four Gospels report all three events, Yeshua's death, burial, and his resurrection. Psalm 2:7, I will declare the decree of Adonai. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Psalm 16:10-11, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor let your faithful ones see the pit. You make known to me the path of life, accordance, abundance of joy are in your presence, eternal pleasures in your sight. Isaiah 53:9, to 12. His grave was given with the wicked and by a rich man in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased Adonai to bruise him. He caused him to suffer. If he makes his soul a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the will of Adonai will succeed by his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied by his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, will make many righteous, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore I will give him a portion with the great, and he will divide the spoil with the mighty. Because he poured out his soul to death, and was counted with transgressors, for he bore the sin of many, and interceded for the transgressors. Hosea 6:2. After 2 days he will revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we will live in his presence. John 1:17, and the Lord appointed a great Jonah 1:17, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. Matthew 12:39-40, but Yeshua replied to them, an evil and adulterous generation clamors for a sign, yet no sign shall be given it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. After that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, 1 Corinthians 15:6, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. He was seen by more than 500 brothers at one time, the majority of whom are still alive. Some 20 to 25 years after the event took place, though some have died. The evidence of verse 5 is weighty, but because one can imagine 12 people agreeing to propagate a lie, as indeed had already been imagined, Matthew 28:12-15, Shaul next presents the single most compelling piece of evidence for the truth of the gospel that could be found in the entire New Testament, evidence which even Orthodox Jewish scholar Pinchas Lapid had declared in print that he believes. That is, Lapid believes Yeshua was in fact resurrected, but does not believe him to be the Messiah, which is sad. Some think this appearance of the resurrected Yeshua to 500 refers to Matthew 28:16-20, while others believe Shaul is writing about an appearance not documented elsewhere in the New Testament. In any case, Shaul challenged to the Corinthians this: if you still doubt, there are a minimum of 250 people still alive who actually saw the resurrected Yeshua and can give you a first-hand report. You can talk personally to as many of them as you need to in order to be convinced. It is utterly implausible that Shaul would offer this opportunity for personal verification had it not actually was possible. He would not write to a skeptical readership that there were hundreds of witnesses if there weren't. Likewise, it is utterly implausible that 500 people could conspire to perpetuate a lie so contrary to normal experience, or be deceived in a way that would not break down under a skeptic's careful questioning. For these reasons, Yeshua's resurrection must be acknowledged as an objective fact of history, not a vagary of faith. That is the best rational explanation, both then and now, of the existence in Shaul's day of hundreds of people who Shaul could be absolutely confident would witness that Yeshua was in fact resurrected from the dead. No great leap of faith is required to believe it. All that is needed is a tiny step of acknowledging that Yeshua's resurrection stamps him as a Messiah promised by the Tanakh, worthy of eternal gratitude as Savior and allegiance as Lord. And without this tiny step, there can be no new covenant faith whatever. Jewish New Testament Commentary, David Stern. As Messianic believers, we celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection during the season of Passover as a fact. There is no room to accept any alternate view. Our Redeemer lives, and the proof is he lives within those who believe he is the Messiah. Personal thoughts of Yeshua, risen Lord. Do you look forward to the great resurrection? How are you preparing for it? Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and has commanded us concerning the counting of the Omer. Today is 33 days, which are 4 weeks, and 5 days of the Omer. The merciful one, may he return to us the service of the temple to its place, speedily in our days. Amen. Selah. In Yeshua's name. Bo, Yeshua, bo. Shalom.